Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that
What's blow. Up? What's up, everybody? You know, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and of course, I don't know, I think somebody on this show said that when the tax plan came out, the markets would probably sell off a little bit because pretty much everything was kind of priced in already. Do you know anybody who said that? I think I might have said it. I don't know. Anyways, now the real question is where will the market go from here? You know, we now know, right? We got the thing priced in the tax plan is good, but of course the next problem will be, can we get it passed? Can we get it approved? And already Chuck Schumer is already saying, oh, it only benefits the rich. Okay. Now, again, I don't know whether it does or it doesn't. I thought it looked pretty good to me. But of course this is the issue. And this is when you have a broken down political system. You have problems. And that is exactly what, that we see, is that there's going to be a lot of blowback here on, you know, what's going on. And of course, what are we going to say there? Well, we're going to say simply what we said, is that now we have it out, the market's priced it in already, and it's still not approved. So are we going to continue to see this major rally because, you know, everything's already in now? Now, I'm not saying we won't see it. I don't know. My guess is that I still personally believe that the markets are teetering on edge. I still personally believe that the markets are trying to go lower. So my simple point to that is that if I am correct in my assessment, then we're really just waiting for a reason to go down, and it's not if, it's when, which I also believe to be factual. I believe it to be a when, not an if. I'm 100% certain that the markets are going to fall. The question is only when. I'm 100% certain that we're going to have somewhat of a pretty healthy correction. But again, I don't know when. So when we look at all of these items, we have to try to evaluate the how the market is running and what it's working on. And of course, we know that we've been pumped up pretty much on air. We know that it's been pretty much, we'll call it a bubble. I mean, I think this is a bubble myself. But, you know, just because it's a bubble doesn't mean it's bad. Especially if you know how to take care of the bubble, then you don't have much of a problem. But simply put, okay, if you're hedged and protected, then it could be all the bubble you want. You take advantage of what the government was giving, which is when the Fed created the bubble because they were printing money. Obviously, those who had a lot of assets, especially in the stock market, were big beneficiaries. I know a bunch of people that bought a bunch of real estate, you know, down in 2008. So those who had bullets to buy were benefiting. Those who held benefited. The only people that got hurt were the ones that actually got out. But you can certainly benefit from a bubble if you're prepared to benefit. And I think that becomes the bigger story, is not trying to convince yourself that the market will never go down again. Not trying to convince yourself that there's an issue, but more certainly convincing yourself that, hey, I know the market's going to sell off sometime. I know that my portfolio is way up. I need to figure out what to do against my portfolio. Either take the cash, start liquidating, or figure out a way to protect it. That is really what you want to be doing at these times. Again, it can go forever. So, but why not protect it knowing that you're thinking of potentially selling it anyways? So why not put yourself in a position to say, okay, let me get some protection here. Let me help myself and make sure. Because again, we have all of these promises from Trump. And again, I'm a fan. So again, I'm not talking down about him, to be honest with you. But we do have all of these promises. And if indeed he doesn't get it done, well, you know the market will sell off because of that. And it appears to me that the market is like sitting on the edge, waiting to be pushed over the edge. And that becomes the bigger problem, that, you know, you've got so many people that are so far away from believing that the markets could ever go down again, let alone have a correction. And of course, you still got the old fashioned fear mongers out there telling you that it's going to zero, which they're full of crap too, right? The market trades in levels and it will go up and down in different patterns. But at the end of the day, okay, we're not going to see 4% growth this year, which we were kind of promised by Steve Moore and many of others of that ilk. We know that there's a lot of things happening. So, but yet here we are. Okay. Now we're seeing better jobs, but of course, full employment leads to other problems at some point. And I'm not, again, I am not trying to make you afraid or fearful of what is happening. All I'm saying to you is that, hey, you know, you should be learning to protect yourself, whether you're in equities or whether you have a farm, whatever you have. Okay, because look at the assets of cattle at the moment. They're going to the moon. I mean, they may never go down. I'm short. I'm choking on my shorts. But my point is, this is simple. Okay, why not lock in part of these gains? I mean, can you imagine cattle has had a bigger run here? Now, you know, was this a blow off yesterday? I don't know. But what I'm saying to you here is simply, why do I have to think about it and guess about it? And this is where I think a lot of people make too many mistakes when they're trading and when they're investing, is they try to handicap or guess, okay, well, should I get out? Well, I'm going to tell you honestly, I do not get out when I'm short. I do not get out when I'm long. I let the market take me out by setting a stop or whatever. I will look for a level of a resistance or support, depending on which side I'm on. And when it gets to that level, I will then adjust to make sure that I'm locking in some profits. In my long-term portfolio, I just hedge it so I don't have to worry about it. But this is, again, the thought process, the logic that it takes to go through and be successful, understanding what all the gibberish that we see on air, and unfortunately, many of us are subject to listening to what we'll call the so-called experts. I mean, in my mind, they don't know jack, and I can prove that. But again, I'm not gonna say anything bad about anybody. But again, I'm just saying that, you know, it's, if you listen to everything that you heard, you would be broke, and that's why it behooves you to understand how the market itself works, because that is understanding. And that allows you to do a lot of good things for yourself over time. Understanding the workings of the market. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, my station, LibertyTalk.fm. You can go there and download the show. And we've got plenty of other content there for you. Also, you've got The Sporting Edge on the weekends, which is now being hosted by Xander. And of course, my soon-to-be Emmy Award-winning Bubba's Bottom Line, available to you at BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. Check out the site. I think you'll have a good time. We put a lot of good stuff up there for you. I do a lot of writing. And of course, I've got some good products as well. But hey, you know, no obligation. It's free to look. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we will be right back for more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. I'm alive. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, you know, we talked about the tax cuts and, you know, the issues that were going to fall into place there. We talked about the growth, which obviously goes back to the tax cuts, and we talked about the health care. So we can see that, unfortunately, in this particular case, the left is standing in the way of the right, and they would rather have failure than success. Not logical, but again, political, I guess you would say. But now we've got obviously some other political events going on in the world, and I think that this Ann Coulter story is another joke. Okay, you know, Berkeley University, she's supposed to speak there. She is a conservative, and of course, they're bombing her out and actually got her to cancel because, you know, there was going to be too much issue and too much trouble. Now, you know, again, obviously not right, not the right thing to see, not the right thing to do. And I think a bigger problem, but I think that speaks to the problems that are in the world today is you've got, everybody's very explosive, okay? You've got a lot of things going on that are making people very unhappy. And whether they're right or wrong, okay, and obviously I don't agree with most of what goes on, but certainly the one thing great about America is you can do things you want as long as you don't break the law. But I am concerned, you know, with things that are going on. And again, I think that eventually will create the next great revolt. You know, don't kid yourself. We are seeing the makings of a revolt by just the way that we see the voting going on, by the way we see the Brexit and the maybe the Frexit, and of course the Trump victory. These are ways of revolting without going to violence yet. So my point is very simple here, is that, hey, you know, eventually there would be another revolution in this country potentially, because there is a big separation between the haves, the have-nots, and the entitled. And that one of the problems with the generation coming up today is they're too entitled, including my children. So I don't want to put anybody out, okay? This is a problem. We've somehow lost the pride in America of actually working, learning how to work, learning how to do things on your own, and the art of learning. Now, the art of learning was actually destroyed by what do they call that education program? I forgot the curriculum. Common Core. Okay. Common Core is as worthless as on a bull, right? I mean, what is Common Core? Why would I have the same curriculum in Chicago that somebody has in Iowa City? All right. Why would I have the same curriculum in Mississippi that I have in New York? Okay. Again, I believe that the fallacy of the Common Core curriculum is that we're not all from the same area. We don't all have the same background, and we all grow up a little bit differently. Certainly, if you're growing up in the city of New York, you're probably going to have a little bit more street smarts than somebody growing up in the streets of North Carolina. All right. If you're growing up in a tougher neighborhood, you're probably going to be a little bit more heads up, more sharp on certain things. So should not the curriculums be designed for where you are? Should one test score decide your entire fate? I mean, I don't think so. I think that is the mistake. The reason I got involved myself with my high school investing program, because investing is investing no matter where you are. Okay. But the reason that I got involved with it is because I got pissed off that my kids at the time were going to the number one high school in the state, but they only knew how to take a test. They knew how to prepare for the next test. And to me, that does not make sense. To me, that is not logical. To me, that's a bunch of garbage. Okay? Because in life, you have to be prepared for anything. You know, can you imagine? Now, I'm 60. But when I was 16, if my car broke down, I knew what to do. I knew where to go. I knew how to fix it. Whatever. Any number of those things. Today's kids, they broke down. They made somebody sit in there for a week until somebody came to get them because they wouldn't be able to function. And again, I think that's a much bigger problem with the entitlement, the entitled generation that is coming up. You know, it's amazing when you think about it, the cost of education, the cost to, just to raise your children. You know, if you took a child, you know, and your child was maybe an athlete and maybe played travel baseball or travel soccer or travel basketball or hockey, you need a loan. But again, those things are expensive. They don't give them away free, right? You know, I was watching MLB the other day on Jackie Robinson Day, and there were some African Americans that were talking about it, and it is cost prohibitive, which is why you see less and less playing Major League Baseball because of the cost to play. You know, it's no longer good enough just to be in just Little League. It's no longer just enough to be in what they call a house league team. You got to be on a travel team. And don't kid yourself. These organizations that built these travel teams, they knew what they were doing because everybody makes a travel team, so they can collect $1,500, $2,000 a kid for a summer. You know, if you noticed, if you're a baseball fan, how all these teams have popped up, all these organizations have popped up, or if you're a basketball fan, I mean, you know, everybody's got a travel team now, so everybody plays travel basketball. You know, when I grew up, we had one travel tournament a year, and you had to be selected from Little League to get on it, okay? And you played high school baseball. Now, high school baseball is a secondary issue. And that's the point, is that the cost of living today, A, with the inflation, which we don't have supposedly, but we're making less money, but to raise kids is an extremely inexpensive proposition. And unfortunately, most parents want to try to provide. So they go on a hack for their kids and they never get out. Back in the day, you know, people had a nice lifestyle, but they usually accumulated wealth after their children left because then they didn't have all the expense. But now many families are busy paying off the debt that their kids created from going to school. Okay. So there's just a lot of things that just don't make sense. And yet we're educating our children, like at Berkeley, to be ridiculous, or at Yale, another stupid study. I mean, you know, are you kidding me? Is this really what we've come to? You spend $500,000 to send your kid to school to go to Yale to learn how to be a jackass? I mean, come on. I mean, this is where we've lost the real American, the real learn it yourself, let me do it myself, and learn, okay, so that I can get myself out of bad situations, which relates us back to the markets, okay? Notice how I circled right back to that. Again, learn to understand where you are so that you can get out, okay? It doesn't mean you won't lose money on a trade or on an investment, but at least you'll have the best understanding and you'll have created the best probability model for yourself. Because after all, what is life? It's about survival. It's about surviving the good, the bad, the scary, and whatever. And if we can survive, then we got a chance to prosper. But we first have to learn our survival skills, which I don't think the younger generation have right now. And to me, that becomes the bigger problem. But that's my lecture for today. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horwitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.com. LibertyTalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And make sure you do so. And also check out BubbaTrading.com and take a look at Bubba's Bottom Line. I have a lot of fun doing that. And of course, you know that I have no opinion on anything, so it's a very calm and sedate show. But I think you'll enjoy it if you check it out. Make sure you do. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back after the break with more of my Bubba's Bitch. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you. And of course, this is Thursday. It is almost the weekend time. And of course, we've got the tax cuts. We've got all the other things. But, you know, we love Bill Whittle and from BillWhittle.com. And of course, he does many of these nice little videos and recordings. And I want to share with you what he has done on capitalism and what he has done on socialism. So let's go check out what Mr. Bill Whittle has to say on capitalism right now. Here we go.
Capitalism is very simple, really. First, it requires private property. This skyscraper is private property, and this hoodie is private property, too. You know, before capitalism, if you were a common person, you didn't own anything. The state or the king or the duke or the emir or the emperor or the whoever owned all of the land and everything on it, and much of the time they owned you as well. The ability for a common person to have something that belongs to him or her is an earth-shaking innovation historically. And second, capitalism needs a free market. Individuals need to be able to buy and sell their private property, and these trades are voluntary. It's this non-coercive, voluntary ability to buy and sell in your own personal interest that makes capitalism so morally superior to socialism, aristocracies, dictatorships, or anything else where someone else determines what's in your best interest. Freedom and capitalism go hand in hand, and you cannot have one existing without the other. But the main reason capitalism is the bomb is because of one exceedingly simple idea. Your work and your reward are tied together. Capitalism works because it rewards and incentivizes us to do more work than we would otherwise have to. Let's imagine a caveman. He and his clan live up in the mountains. They're hunters who eat meat. And because they're hunters, they make incredible spears. They're straight and strong with razor-sharp flint spearheads, and they're covered in elaborate carvings for good magic. But they don't do much gathering up there, so their baskets kind of look like birds' nests. Now, down in the valley is another tribe. They grow their own food and go out every day to harvest it and bring it home. Since they do very little hunting, their spears are just thin sticks that break almost every time. But their baskets are so well made that they can almost hold water. Now, one day, a guy from the hunter tribe meets a guy from the gatherer tribe in the Midlands, and these two proto-geniuses decide to make a trade, one well-built, powerful spear for one well-made, intricate basket. The spear maker goes back up to the caves. Everyone comes out to marvel at the wonderful basket. No one's ever seen anything like it. He is now the wealthiest man in the clan because he has something that everybody wants and no one else has. Now, here's the actual miracle. If that caveman's a socialist, he's going to lend out the basket to the tribe, and it's going to get banged up, and people will want to hog it, and that leads to several murders until eventually the basket just falls apart. But this proto-capitalist genius stares at the cave ceiling all night, and he says to himself, Trevor, you need to make two spears a week in order to survive, because that's how many get lost or broken. But if you stay up later at night and get up earlier in the morning, I'll bet you could make an extra three spears per week. Then he realizes that his daughter's not going to starve to death after all, because his idiot son-in-law is going to come in and help him make spears instead of flinging poo at saber-toothed tigers all day. Now, fortunately, the gatherer is also a free trade capitalist, and a few days later, they meet to exchange three wonderful spears for three excellent baskets, and each goes back home. Now, it is true that both the spear maker and the basket maker will have amassed more shiny pebbles or seashells than the others. In other words, more money. But who loses here? The more trading they do, the more common these items become. And the price goes down on baskets the same way it goes down on 4K televisions as more and more of those are made. Pretty soon, everybody has a better basket than they ever imagined possible. And in the other village, everyone has an incredible spear. Everybody is wealthier. Everybody's life is improved. And you would think that would make everybody happy, but not quite. Because there are a few bastards up there who do not think about the awesome baskets that they now have when they didn't have them before. All they can think about is how many shiny stones the guy who did all the work has. These people are bitter, envious, and miserable. They contribute nothing but grief and whining. Eventually, they became known as Democrats.
And, of course, that was pretty interesting and I think pretty much right spot on. What do you think? I mean, you know, again, you work hard, you build something, and you sell it, and you make more. And, of course, as you create more inventory, you bring down prices. I don't think it's anything different. And I think that is one of the biggest problems that we have in this country is the lean toward socialism, which really, if you go back and look at some of the stuff that the Federal Reserve has done, it has also tried to push us into socialism, having, you know, everybody be able to support everybody through that. And of course, you know, it depends on how you look at it. But of course, then there's the wonderful socialism, which, you know, eventually you run out of other people's money, has never worked because it is a Ponzi scheme. It is a pyramid scheme. But you know what? Let's go check out what our friend, Mr. Bill Whittle, has to say on socialism. I think you'll find it very interesting. I think you'll find it enjoyable, but you'll let me know. So here's Bill Whittle on socialism. Here we go.
Low incomes are essentially tossed into a giant pot called the state and then redistributed more or less equally. That's why so many people think that socialism is more fair than capitalism. But let's see how fair all of this sharing really is. Let's take 10 randomly selected people and put them on a football field and tell them to run the 100 yards from one goal line to the other. Now, equality of opportunity, that's capitalism, means that everyone starts at the same line. No one should be allowed to start ahead. No one should be held behind. And when they start running, some people are going to run faster, some are going to run slower, and this creates unequal results. People cross the finish line at different times based on how fast they can run. Now, socialists think it's unfair that some people can run faster than others and that some are left behind. They want people's cars, houses, salaries, you know, all the rest of it to be more or less the same. The equality of socialism is not equality of opportunity, but equality of result. Equality of opportunity means everyone starts from the same line at the same time. Equality of result means that everyone finishes at the same line and at the same time. Now, here's why socialism sucks. If everyone is forced to finish at the same time, then the entire race has to be run at the speed of the slowest runner. You can't run faster than you can run, and that means that every single one of the other people on the field have to be slowed down. Aha, you say, but socialism means that the fastest people go back and carry the slowest ones over the line. But like it or not, people do not behave that way. And I can prove it, because if you're one of those people who call yourselves socialists, well, then you should take your iPhones and your Xboxes down to a pawn shop, collect the cash, and distribute the money to the homeless. Some people are all about wealth redistribution when it's somebody else's wealth being redistributed to them, but when it's time to redistribute their own wealth, all of a sudden they're rock-ribbed capitalists. The fastest runners do not go back and carry the slowest ones, and if they're forced to do so, then they simply do less work and slow down. I mean, why? Why run as fast as you can when the faster you go, the more weight you have to carry? Why study like hell for 15 years in order to become a brain surgeon when you're just going to get the same paycheck, the same house, the same car as a barista at Starbucks? You bust your butt for 15 years studying for your entire youth, and then most of that work gets taken away from you by force to pay someone who does nothing but get high and play video games all day? That's fair? Socialism doesn't turn baristas into brain surgeons. Socialism turns brain surgeons into baristas, and it gets worse. Socialism doesn't work because it's a pyramid fraud. Now, that's where the first ones in get paid by those who pay to get in second, and so on. A pyramid fraud pays off only when there are constantly more and more people coming in at the bottom to pay those above them. If you run out of people at the bottom, well, then you're boned. Four people can work hard enough to support one person for his entire life, but one person cannot support four. And for decades now, the population of these European socialist countries are not growing, but rather shrinking. So in order to keep the pyramid scheme going, they have to import new people from high birth rate places who, generally speaking, are not that interested in putting in a lifetime of work to support other people. They're interested in all of the free socialist benefits, and many of them are interested, very interested, in their religion. Oh, and by the way, Fidel Castro, socialist hero, champion of the new socialist working man and woman who work as hard for other people as they do for themselves and who share everything equally. Well, Fidel died recently. Cuban socialism meant that his people barely had enough to eat for three generations, but at least they were all starving equally. When socialist icon Fidel Castro died, his personal net worth was $900 million.
And there's your take on socialism. And of course, obviously, the Bubba Show, we are capitalists, and we want, you know, if you deserve, if you earn something, then you should have the benefit of being able to create that. And of course, this is something that has been the age-old problem from the lazy that don't want to work, that they want to take away from the people that do want to work. And I think that becomes the bigger problem. Why should I have to give up my smarts and my hard work for somebody who doesn't want to work, which has always been my contention, even when it comes to some of the programs that we have out there. But we'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, that was Mr. Bill Whittle that you can see at BillWhittle.com. And in the meantime, we are going to step out here. Bubba Show, make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day. And of course, don't forget to get the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And we will step out here and we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, Chris, we had Bill Whittle talking about capitalism and socialism in the last segment. And of course, you know, I guess what's your feelings about all that? I mean, you know, obviously I am purely a capitalist. I'm a capitalist that believes that you should help those you can help. You should help those that need help. But for those that don't need help, that just want to sponge off of me, I don't believe that they should get or deserve my energy or my help. And I think this is one of the things we wrote about a couple of years ago and continue to harp on, and that is the entitlement programs that are more socialistic. And of course, again, if you really need the help, I'm more than happy to help you. If you really need something, you know, I am happy to give to good causes, but I'm not happy when I get a guy sitting home, or a gal smoking crack, drinking beer, and living off my dime. I'm not happy that we fight over these wages when, if you have any desire, any drive in life, you're trying to always get better. And of course, there is the rich of the world. Now, some of it obviously was born and stolen rich, and you know, I'm not going to name names, but I'm sure you know some of the families. But then there are those that did build, you know, Steve Jobs from Apple, he did build from a garage, Bill Gates, Jeffrey Zuckerberg, okay, all people that worked and built and didn't have the free edge. There's many, many more, but that is, you know, why should you give up your income to get to put for somebody who doesn't want to work? That is always the key, and it was like there was a talk a while back, if you made over 400,000 or whatever number it was, your tax rate would go up crazy. So I go, well, why would you work till you make 400,000? You quit and you wait till the next year to make another 400,000. Again, if you take away the incentive for people to innovate, if you take away the incentive for people to produce, then what are we going to produce? All right. you know, if you don't, entrepreneurs drive this country. It's not the old wealthy. It's the entrepreneurs that built something from nothing and created a model that allowed people to either work for or work with or build around. And if you take a look at Walmart, Sam Walton started this little old store in Bentonville, Arkansas. And look at what he has now. Well, you know, he ain't got it. He ain't here. But look at what they have now. And of course, look at the amount of people that he employed. Look at the amount of people that have done very well. And then, of course, you know, look at the people that just wanted to be workers, which is fine. That is exactly what we have and what we look for. But again, a great American entrepreneur that started from a little. But think about not only the people that he employs himself, but think about the people that sold goods, that did things, that all the companies that came off of Walmart. All right, think about all of the things that were done, and that's purely capitalistic. And again, I have no problem with it, because I think that should be the American way. You know, Bill Whittle mentioned the you know, going to school to be a doctor, be a brain surgeon. All right. Well, are you not entitled to make as much money as you can if you decide to go that route? I mean, we all have choices of how we want to move forward. And I think this is one of the problems. I think this is one of the things that's been lost, especially during the Obama administration, the lost decade of trying to become socialists. And again, you know, we can all think of the theory, but somebody has got to make the money. And why would I want to make the money to support everybody else when they're not at least trying to put forth an effort? And I think that becomes one of the problems that we look at in this country is, you know, obviously there's people that are in need. There's people that cannot work. And I get that. And I have no problem helping support them. But when I know that, you know, you look around right now at jobs, now I'm not telling you that you're getting great jobs, but McDonald's, they're hiring everywhere and they have a great benefit package. Okay. Walgreens, they're hiring everywhere. Now, again, those are not the ideal jobs, but you need to get off your ass and get off of the unemployment and get into working so that you can at least get back and put yourself in a position to create the next opportunity. And that's where I think, you know, the Bernie Sanders of the world and those have failed to realize, you know, Bernie Sanders has done nothing but sponge off the government his entire life. He's a career politician. So where is his, you know, deal at? And so what I'm saying is just very simply this, okay? You need to work, you need to earn money, and you need to try to advance your career and get as far as you can. And some will break out and become the next Bezos or Gates or Buffett or whatever. And some will become just employees and work. But you know what's amazing? If you work hard and you work for a good company and you take care of you take advantage of the benefits that your good company offers you, well, guess what happens? You actually build wealth. You build money, okay, by saving. But one of the problems we have is we all believe what we're so entitled to so much, I mean, things that we continue to spend instead of learning how to live on a budget and take care of business. And I think that's the other thing we've gotten. You know, I mean, this is not just the Obama administration. This is administration after administration. But if the government would live on a budget, then the rest of us would probably have a better idea of how to live on that same budget. But again, when you continue to bail everything out and you allow things to happen, you've destroyed the true system of capitalism. And of course, if you go back and you're one of the conspiracy theorists and you go back and think about the Fed in its creation, the Fed, according to some minds, was created to create actually socialism, to actually abscond with all of the cash in the world as they continue to try to run that pyramid scheme. All right. Now, again, I'm not saying that I believe that. I'm just saying that if you look at some of the writings about the Federal Reserve, you will see that that was the initiative was for the few to scarf up all the wealth of the many. And, you know, again, this is, we are a free society, and anybody from any walk of life has an opportunity to create success. And it's really up to the individual to create that success, not up to the government or the system that we live in, because we've seen through the years that the purest, the best system is capitalism, because it gives everybody an equal opportunity to move forward. It prevents nobody, and it does not get into your pockets, taking away your hard-earned dough. It gives you a chance to be whoever it is that you want to be. And of course, that's the school that I like to go to, is give me the opportunity. I may fail, but at least I want the shot, because if you're going to take everything I make, then what's the point of me innovating, working, or doing anything else? What do you think about that? All right. Anyways, if you've got any opinions, go ahead and email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com. Let me know your thoughts. Obviously, I extend the invitation. You can come on air anytime and speak your opinion. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, that'll do it for today. You make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, don't forget, Bubba's Bottom Line. Pretty fun to do. And of course, check it out at bubbatrading.com. In the meantime, everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.